FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 10-9-18. Well, a lot has happened. The good judge, Brett Kavanaugh, has been confirmed. And so much more. As always, be a part of the show and email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, former Congressman John LaBoutelier is with us now with some opinions on the madness and the mayhem in the swamp, a.k.a. Washington, D.C. John, welcome back.
Thank you, Kerry. Love being on with you every month or so. It's a highlight for me.
And, and me.
Yeah, the swamp is It's unpredictable, that place.
Hey, and just like the president is completely unpredictable as well, and you wake up every morning this morning, Nikki Haley resigns. We don't know exactly why yet. I wasn't able to listen in on the press conference, but someone who appeared to be initially a big adversary of the president's and then went on to become a major ally is gone.
Yep. She's retiring or resigning, I should say, at the end of the calendar year. And, you know, I don't think there's any bad feeling because they're announcing it today in the Oval Office with her sitting next to President Trump. So I don't think there's any animus between them. I just think it is what it is. She's going to have a big political future, whether she stayed at the UN or not. And I'll give you a scenario that I heard a guy speculate about. Mm-hmm. The midterms are in 4 weeks. When they're over, Trump's going to clean house in the Justice Department. Sessions is going to get canned. And what looks like a campaign has been waged for the last 2 months by Lindsey Graham to get that job.
Really?
And if he gets that job, which he could get confirmed by a Republican Senate after the election, they would definitely approve a fellow Republican senator.
They have to.
Then you have an open Senate seat from South Carolina.
And Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley. Yeah. And her former lieutenant governor is now the governor, Henry McMaster.
Correct.
So this could be a part of that. Maybe.
Wow. So there's tea leaves to be read here, and it's part of a regrouping effort, effectively. So really, Lindsey Graham as AG. Well, you know, Lindsey Graham went from being a bitter adversary, an extremely bitter. Remember, Trump gave out his cell phone number. And then he gave out Trump's cell phone number, and Trump turned it into a campaign ad on his voicemail. I mean, it was quite entertaining. And now when you saw, so getting to the Kavanaugh nomination, you could argue that perhaps Lindsey Graham single-handedly got Kavanaugh in there.
I think that impassioned Thursday afternoon talk in the Judiciary Committee when he took his time back from that woman prosecutor, and instead of talking to Kavanaugh, he unloaded on the Democrats. And that rallied the Republicans in the Senate, in the Judiciary Committee, the full Senate, and frankly, it rallied Republicans around the country.
Agreed.
The hell with this. We're going to fight back. We're not going to sit here and take it from Dianne Feinstein and Cory Booker. We're going to unload on these people. And you and I haven't talked for a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah.
About that. And what you saw that day, and it hasn't really been commented on enough, I don't think, is a long and deep-seated bitterness inside the Judiciary Committee, both the members and the staff, that has been carried forth from the Robert Bork, even though there's only Leahy and Hatch are still here from Bork.
Mm-hmm.
But it's carried forth through Bork, through Anita Hill, through Merrick Garland. So it's both sides are really bitter at the other side. And you can see it. You could see it that afternoon when Lindsey Graham just unloaded on them. And
both
that's
barrels.
Not going away. You know, that's not going away after Brett Kavanaugh. It's probably going to get worse.
Well, the bitterness might not be going away, but some of those senators, there's a good possibility after the midterm will be going away as well, on the Democratic side.
Yeah, I don't know on the Democratic side in the Judiciary Committee. I don't think any of them are up for re-election. Now, Flake is going to be gone this year because he's not running again. On the Republican side, I don't think any of those Democrats are up this year. Sheldon Whitehouse will easily get reelected in Rhode Island. Blumenthal, he's not in trouble and he's not running this year.
Right.
Leahy never loses. Feinstein's run. She's going to get reelected. I think they'll all still be there.
Well, they might, if the Republicans pick up 5 or 6 seats though, composition of these committees will change.
True.
There'll be an extra one or two Republicans on each key committee, and that will right there result in a couple of them going bye-bye, and it's a question of whom. And you know, their performance was I mean, I don't want to get into all the allegations and all that, but the performance of the Democrats there was quite shameful and really just over the top. I mean, they jumped the shark here, didn't they?
Well, I think we think they did. You know, I mean, Republicans are just up in arms over it. I don't know that the public thinks they jumped the shark. I mean, I've got a new poll here in the paper today where now that it's said and done, only a poll taken over the weekend, 51% of Americans opposed to Kavanaugh. 41% favored him. So I don't know that they jumped the shark for the body politic, but among the two parties, you know, inside the Republican Party, we think they did. And in the Democratic Party, they liked what the Democrats did.
Well, I think the fact that he got in, Manchin flipped, surprised that others didn't. I think it's to their political it will cost them politically. But don't forget, John, that October is National Lie to Your Pollster Month.
That may be true. We will find out 4 weeks from now if every poll is wrong because people lie or not. I am a believer in polling, and I don't think they're pretty good. Good pollsters can screen that stuff out. And I had a guy tell me 40 plus years ago, he said, you want to do a good poll? You take the first, open up a phone book and take 400 names and call them up and you will get a pretty good sample of what's going on. And I've always thought that's true. And most polls, and if we look back at 2016, everybody tries to say, oh, the polling was all wrong. It wasn't wrong. It showed the race, the last polls taken before Election Day, showed Hillary and Trump within the margin of error. And in those key states, they all had it within a point or two, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and not Ohio, and Pennsylvania. And those numbers are correct. They were within the margin of error. And it is not that the polls were wrong. They were right. And it showed an increasingly close race heading into that Tuesday.
Well, they might have been closer, but they nonetheless showed Hillary with 300 some odd electoral votes and, humiliating defeat for Trump. And all of the pundits, looking at the tea leaves, came to a similar conclusion. And basically everyone except for me and a handful of others were wrong about it and wrong about the outcome. So, so you're within the margin of error. You still called it totally wrong, not even close. Trump got 308 electoral votes. And I think that polling has changed in that hey, for the first time, I just moved. Guess what? I don't have a landline. Not that I ever answered it anyway for the past 5 or 6 years, because I didn't. But the number of people who have landlines is declining, so that phone book is no longer such a great sample.
I know. But what pollsters do now is they do a mix of the decreasing number, you're right, of landlines, cell phones, and online.
And
you know, if you put enough money into a good poll, you'll get an accurate result. If you go on the cheap, you won't. But
yeah, and that means the public polls, so many of the public polls are agenda driven anyway. They're not really designed to come out with an accurate result. They're designed to influence the electorate. So,
right.
But the other thing is that we're in the surveillance state here now, John, and I don't know about you, but many of you out there, you get a call from a pollster. You don't know if it's a hotline to the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, and you don't want them to know what you're thinking, because that goes into a database and then you're tagged, and you really, really, people are very wary of giving out any information to strangers on the premise that, hey, there is no privacy left, so why should I talk to these people in the first place? I think you're getting this backlash.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. I hear it all the time.
Yeah, you know.
I hear it all the time. People say, I don't want to talk to them. They know my name. I don't want to talk to them.
They know your name. They know your number. And that goes into a database. And then the results of the poll are in that database. And you are scored on some level. And then you're targeted after that. And I'm not saying adversely, like deep state out to get you. But it's like, hey, they know, they've got too much insight into me. I don't want them to know all this. And I think a lot of this is leading to the diminished reliability of polling, particularly public polling. So like you say, we'll know in a month how accurate or inaccurate these polls are. But I just have a feeling. The other thing is the intensity, right? The client.
I mean, can't measure that, really. Yeah. Who's going to vote? Can't measure it.
But it looks like, by all accounts, Kavanaugh did somewhat energize the Republican base, perhaps. I mean, we'll know more.
I think he did. I think the only issue is 4 weeks from now, Kavanaugh's in the rearview mirror now. Mm-hmm. We won.
Yeah.
Democrats lost. So losers get energized because they're PO'd.
Yeah.
The winners were energized during the fight. Will they stay energized for 4 more weeks, or will they slightly relax and say, hey, we got what we won. We won. We're happy. That's what I worry about. If I could have micromanaged this thing, I would have moved it 1 month and had this fight take place the week before the election. That would have really jacked everything up. But it's done. So
yeah, it's done. And hey, it's we won't know, really. But I think, you know, Trump said you were going to get tired of winning, and winning is what he did here. And, you know, it's
he's put two conservative young men, relatively young, on the Supreme Court, who will be there for 30 years
with a third, probably at least a third, likely on the way, with two others hanging in the balance if he's reelected in 2020. So, you know, and look, like people anti-abortion really are, you know, have been peeved over the court for decades now, and rightfully so, because the court was never really designed to be the overarching legislature, able to second guess Congress and all state legislative bodies. So really, this was a big thing on the right, getting control of the court, ideologically tipping the balance, I should say. You don't have control. You know as well as I know, you never know, really, regardless who's on the court, how exactly they are going to rule on a particular case. You really don't know until they come out. You know, a lot of the cases, business cases, you see really surprising results often. And the support for the administrative state has almost been complete on the court, but now it looks like that might change, and that could perhaps be the biggest game changer of this whole nomination debacle, or whatever you want to call it, brouhaha.
Yeah, no, there's no question. This thing's going to, you never know about these justices, as you say, but the odds are the court is going to reflect the American public, which on many issues is right of center and moving more to the right. Mm-hmm. And it is a political institution. And it's now we got five conservatives. When you're talking about John Roberts being the swing vote, that's good for our side. That's good for our side.
Yeah. Well, he certainly is no Anthony Kennedy, but he did cast the deciding vote twice to uphold the constitutionality of Obamacare.
Yep, of Obamacare.
So,
yep. And Anthony Kennedy, when President Reagan put him on, we thought he was a conservative.
And he was.
And he ended up being a he was conservative, but he ended up being more of a swing guy. So you never know.
Yeah,
they get older, they change. Hey, their daughters talk to him.
Yeah, they have kids, you know, grandchildren. But the fact is that Kennedy, the last 71, I think it was, 5-4 decisions, he voted with the conservatives. So if he was the best hope of the left of the progressives, they're in trouble. And yep. Ginsburg, who knows how much longer she can go on. She looked so bad. She can barely hold up her head. I mean, that's not fair to this woman. I mean, maybe she wants this, but, you know, everybody's should be allowed to retire with dignity in the and certainly in their final days, and find whatever peace and contentment they can in life. And, you know, she's being deprived of that based on an ideology. And I just don't see that as a positive for any political party, that's what you're holding on to. And because if they said to her, look, you've done well, you served the country well, and you know, you just don't need to do this anymore, she would be gone, John, in a New York minute. You know it.
I know.
So,
I know.
So it's really
disgraceful.
It's been
great. I'm going to have to leave you.
I know, you
got to
go. All right.
When we next talk, it'll probably be after the midterms.
Correct. Hey, just tell us, John, where we find your podcast and your website.
It's called Revolution the Podcast, and it's on SoundCloud and iTunes. And my website is johnlaboute.com.
All right. Hey, and as always, there's a link to your site in the show notes to this interview on Financial Survival Network. John, we'll talk to you again. Just send us emails, kl@kerrylutz.com. John, have a great day. Be well.
Thanks, Kerry. Okay, bye.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.